Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, we are back again, episode 22, and we're back in the room where it all started for the podcast. It's where we recorded like the first few episodes before we started doing the video versions.
Before we started going to the pub to record everyone.
Yeah. We're back after a solid win away at Norwich in the cup on Sunday. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it was good. I watched it at pub on Sunday. 2 o'clock. It was good. I didn't really expect us to go and play as well as we did. I didn't expect us to start such a strong team. I thought there'd be more youngsters involved, but happy to get through to the next round. We said at the start of the season we wanted to do well in cups this year. Not as important as a league, obviously, but it's a nice change to look forward to the draws and see us in the next round. I think if you look at the other results that have happened in the FA Cup this year and the draw as well, I'm not saying there's a chance you can go far in it, but a lot of big teams are going to go out early.
Already, when you look at those that are left, I mean, City and Arsenal, well, City knocked Chelsea out, and now City will play Arsenal in the next round.
Yeah.
So, that leaves United, Spurs.
I mean, Liverpool were lucky to get through as well, weren't they?
Liverpool have had to go to a replay against Wolves. I mean, a lot of controversy surrounding that.
But we'll talk about the full draw after. But yeah, it was good. Obviously, they helped us massively with the goal. But I think they had like 21 corners, but we didn't ever look in danger of conceding any.
No, I did feel, though, like the later it got, I felt like, oh, I can see what's coming here. Like, but that's that typical Rovers fear inside. You just worry that, you know, it was such a slender lead.
Yeah, that's the thing, we're basing that on like the Rovers gone by. It's not John Dal Thomason's Rovers, because obviously there's only been one game where we've gone in front and got beat with 11 men, and that was a Sunderland game. The Middlesbrough game, we had a man sent off, which really affected the result. I think nowadays we go 1-0 up and you should be like 95% certain that we're going to win the game, no matter how much late pressure they put on. I just think Norwich are in a really bad spot. They are really disappointed with how they played, and I think especially given the run in the league, they had every excuse to go out and field a different 11. Like the players that they picked aren't performing in the league week on week. Whether he's gone in and thought a winning the cup might change the morale, change the dressing room, get them going in the league, I don't know. I just feel like if he completely changed the 11 and went with the reserves, one, he could have got a reaction out of them and done better in the game. Two, it gives the first team players a kick up the arse, and then they might react on Saturday when they're back to the league fixtures. But I just think David Wagner coming in and just picking the same team and playing the same style of play. You heard the Norwich fans, like, they want, I think just before the mistake happened, when they were playing out from the back, they started like going, like, what are we doing here?
Started getting frustrated with it, didn't they?
Yeah, and I think that I'm not going to blame the fans, like, saying that led to the goal, but I think it affects the players' confidence. And obviously, luckily for us, Hanley messes up, Mark and Day capitalised on it, and I thought it was class from Dak, just to
just
a bit of composure rather than just smashing it into the net. Yeah, like
I think that his experience in a situation like that is invaluable, and it was just refreshing to see, really, because I feel like if that falls to other players in the team, then you know you're watching it, and after you left, kicking yourself, like, you know, what have you done that for? It was quality from Dak. Obviously great to see Vale getting a goal again, and I thought it was a really solid all round win. Probably could have got, probably would have been a bit more comfortable in the second half if Diaz took that chance away before the break.
Just before half time.
Yeah. He don't really look, you know, on top of his game, and
yeah, his finishing has gone off.
He don't really look brimming with confidence at the minute.
I think he needs a tap in, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's crying out. Like, at the minute, he's doing that cut inside and going to bend it in top bin from the edge of the box. Where
he just needs any kind of goal.
Yeah, he just needs ones like bouncing off his ass from 2 yards out or something like that. Like, it'd have been perfect if he'd have got Vale's goal. But then I'm glad Vale got the goal, because he's obviously had such a torrid time with injury to come back and have one put on a plate for him. It's like the perfect welcome back to the team, really.
Yeah.
I was happy with most of the team. Pers played really well. Phillips, when he came on, did Wharton go off injured? Haiham played well, but I feel like I say that every week. I bet Pookie's just
scared. The two that stood out for me were Haiham, like you say, and Pers as well. I thought them two were superb. We were very strong defensively. We repelled everything they threw at us, and there was a lot that they threw at us as well. It felt like, you know, it was pretty much constant, particularly in that second half. Defensively, I thought we were very strong, and then two were key to that.
I think it makes it better as well, the fact that Carrow Road is such a not a disappointing place for us. Really, we'd never really get.
Yeah, we've got a shocking record there, and now we've won two in 3 weeks or whatever it is.
Well, we've won more games at Carrow Road since September than Norwich have.
That's
mad. I've not researched it, but I bet it's probably been 30-40 years since we've won two at Norwich. We had that like a 10-year spell where they were in Prem and playing in cups and stuff. We never beat them at Carrow Road. We had the 1-1 draw with Dickoff, to actually see us going to places where we never win and actually getting a result and looking comfortable with the result as well. We just need to carry it on when we go back to the league now. But yeah, always good to get into the next round of the draw. And the draw was quite... You were unhappy with the draw, really, weren't you?
Yeah, I was... Again, I was felt... I was like feeling a bit flat, but I was like, oh... It is a good draw because... Well, it's winnable, let's face it. You'd fancy Rovers to beat both those teams, Forest Green and Birmingham, but you know, you kind of like, because it's been so long since we've been in the Prem, you want that big day out, really, don't you, as well? That's the kind of point of view. You want like Spurs away or something like that.
If you got Spurs or Man United away, for example, you've got the big money, like the big money ticket sales, and you're probably going out realistically. But the home draw we've got now, if you get through that, your chances of playing them teams go up even higher. Plus,
and there's more at stake.
Yeah, plus there'll be only eight games in the next round, which means I'm guessing like six of them will be on telly or something. If you get picked to be on TV as well, say if you get United or Liverpool away, you're on BT Sport, you've got ticket revenue, TV revenue.
Well, they're doing that thing again this season where the fifth round games are midweek.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's ruined it for me.
It's the date on the FA website is Wednesday the 1st of March, so they're probably like Tuesday, Wednesday or Wednesday, Thursday. I'm not sure.
Oh my God, how annoying. I thought it was like just going to be a normal Saturday game. There's no excuse for that.
Usually, it used to be the weekend of my birthday, like the 18th of February, around there. I remember when Lincoln knocked Dingles out. That was on my birthday. I was like, that's a pretty good birthday present.
It was like the next round of the draw is the end of January, isn't it? Like the 27th of Jan.
So it's Saturday the 28th, and it's obviously Friday and Sunday either side. But yeah, the fifth round is midweek again.
It's like only like 5 weeks off, so they could just do like But it's one of them. I mean, the Blackpool game's been moved now.
I don't understand.
The further we go in the cup, the more fixtures are going to pile up, which is going to be a good and a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't understand why. What they probably do is like, actually, they can't do that now. Why couldn't they have the fifth round on that usual weekend in February and then move the whatever league games to the midweek?
Because a lot of the, obviously a lot of League 1, League 2 championship will be out by then. They'll be able to play.
Yeah.
Like they'll be able to play the majority of the game. They could probably play, the FA Cup games probably played on the same weekend that they have a full fixture list, and the games that obviously get missed could be played midweek further on. Oh, that's really upset me. I hope we don't get a good draw in next round if we get through now. Forest Green. I didn't realise how well Forest Green were doing. I thought they were still in League 2, but they won the league last year, didn't they?
Yeah.
Got promoted to League 1. I still fancy to beat them at home.
Yeah, definitely. I think it'd be a massive upset and a massive disappointment for us if we were to get knocked out by Forest Green.
Yeah. And I think Birmingham's a winnable game. I've already beat them at home once this year. And
There is that thing in the back of your head though with Birmingham, with like how that game went. I mean, they pretty much dominated us, didn't they? If it weren't for Kaminsky, it probably would have been 3-4-2, let's be honest.
Maybe have to try and play Kaminsky in that round at cup.
Yeah,
just looking at like the full draw for the fourth round it is now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Preston got Spurs, which is, it's a good draw for Preston, but I'm sure they would have hoped.
Friday night on telly, written all over it, that.
Yeah. Southampton versus Blackpool. It's a bad trip for Blackpool fans, that. And I think, so I've, on my little diagram, I've got the teams with like a dangerous opponent in yellow, and then like teams where if we got through, I'd fancy us to give them a good game in red. So Southampton versus Blackpool are both in red because I fancy us to beat Blackpool, and Southampton have been awful this year.
Yeah.
Wrexham, Sheffield United. I think that's a TV game written all over it. It has to be.
That'll be Saturday dinner time, that. Or maybe Saturday tea time.
Sunday late afternoon.
Mm.
Did you see the game against Coventry, Wrexham's game?
Yeah, I saw the highlights.
4-3 comeback.
Unbelievable scenes in
away. That's like your dream FA Cup time. We had to watch Man United versus Everton or whoever it was.
Yeah,
TV coverage absolutely stinks at the minute. Ipswich versus Burnley. I fancy Ipswich to get a result there. Man United versus Reading. I think obviously Ince going back to Old Trafford. I fancy Man United there. Luton Town or Wigan versus Grimsby Town. That's one of them where if any of them get through, you fancy them in next round.
Yeah, definitely.
Derby County versus West Ham. I know we've already beat West Ham in the cup this year, but I fancy Derby getting an upset there. I know they're down in League One now, but I think at home, I think they'll probably sell out.
I think if we were to get West Ham at home, I'd definitely fancy our chances.
Yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm.
Will West Ham be more focused on the league as well? Because they're down.
Yeah, that's something you've got to consider. Yeah.
Stoke City versus Stevenage. Fancies against both of them if we were to get through. And then it's obviously us versus Forest Green Rovers or Birmingham City. Walsall versus Leicester. Leicester are a weird one, aren't they?
Yeah.
They could either turn up and be unreal or turn up and be awful, like I've already seen this season.
Yeah.
But I can't see Walsall knocking them out.
No. Maybe a replay, but they're all you've got to fancy Leicester. But.
Yeah. Chef Wednesday versus Fleetwood Town, like all League One tie. You're going to fancy us against any team below us or like bottom half at Championship, you're going to fancy yourself in Cup. City versus Arsenal is the Saturday tea time game for me. I think they won't be able to lay their hands off it. I wasn't really interested in the Man City Chelsea game. I just saw Mahrez's free kick. I think that's the annoying thing. Like the FA Cup, especially the third round weekend, there's that many ties they could have picked from that would have been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, the quality of football is not as good, but City Chelsea.
That's not really what the third round's about,
no.
Is it?
It's how many times have you watched City Chelsea and the upsets this year? Or yeah. It's like twice in league. In the last couple of years, they've been in Champions League finals together, like FA yeah. Cup finals, Cup. I don't want to see them anymore. Bristol City, Swansea versus Chesterfield and West Brom. I'd fancies against any of them. And then Brighton versus Liverpool or Wolves. Fulham versus Sunderland and Boreham Wood or Accrington Stanley versus Cardiff or Leeds.
At Chesterfield, West Brom, that's a really good game. Do you see the highlights of that?
No, I've not seen that. No.
Quality game.
What score did it finish?
2-2 in the end. I think it was 2-2.
I've not seen any highlights yet. But yeah, it's a good draw. It's an interesting draw. We need to focus on our games. That's the be all and end all, really. Win our home game, get through to the next round, and hopefully. I mean, if you get into the fifth round, a home tie against any of the League One or the Championship sides, you're only one win away from Wembley. Could we go into Wembley three times this year?
Right. Rob's proper getting ahead of himself now. Yeah, it was 3-3 in the end.
3-3.
Chesterfield, West Brom.
But yeah, could we go into Wembley three times this year? FA Cup semi final and playoff final.
Yeah.
Getting residency at Wembley. But yeah, let's just focus on the league first. We don't need to. We do need to win the cup, but.
Oh my god.
There's only one thing that's more important. So we got Rotherham away Saturday. Are you going?
No, I'm not going. No.
12:30 kickoff on Sky.
I think Eric Downs one of the ones I wanted to do this season, but as soon as Sky moved it, I was like, it just ruins the day. I think.
Yeah.
It's
just like being finished for like half two and then going home, and you got the rest of the afternoon to like ponder.
Yeah, it's a ponder.
If you get beat, it's awful.
It's like obviously like. We usually go with Craven, and like when it's 3 o'clock kickoff, we'll like, you know,
make a full day of it.
Yeah, make a full day of it. Like get like half an hour away from the ground, and then we'll have a stop off, and you know, go around pubs in whatever town we're in. But like we are half 12 kickoff, you can't really do that because you haven't got time. So
yeah.
You know, it's nowhere near as good as for the fans that are going. So yeah, I'm not bothering with Rotherham this Saturday, but it's a. Game really that you're expecting us to win in it?
Yeah, I do expect us to win. That's not just based off our form, but Rotherham 1-14. They lost 4-1 at the weekend to Ipswich in the FA Cup, which against any team is a battering, but against a team lower than you in the leagues, in the cup, I don't know.
And with Rotherham, it probably sums up the Championship that they're only winning 4-14 came against Sheffield United
yeah,
away.
Yeah, Sheffield United away. 3 points off the bottom. I mean, this is a must win for us, really.
Yeah.
To keep up the like holding the playoffs and put some pressure on Sheffield United as well.
Mm.
But it's like a must win game because there's a lot of teams in and around us in the playoffs that are all playing each other this weekend as well. So you've got. Middlesbrough play Millwall, who are both in there. Sunderland play Swansea, which will be a tough game for them. Watford should win that. They'll be realistically the ones that will catch us. Preston play Norwich, they're both up there. Luton play West Brom, they're two of the teams that will also be going for it as well. So I think, especially when you've got the early kickoff, you need to get the 3 points and get the run on them, if you will, where they like feel like they need to win the game beforehand. Just puts that extra bit of pressure on a couple of them drop points.
I feel like we're putting pressure on the top two, so it's almost a point of no return now. I mean, some people would argue that it's already been and gone, but I think we play Sheffield United at home on the 4th of March. I feel like that in the time between now and then, you've really got to try and close that gap to make that game as big a occasion as possible.
I mean, it's
put the pressure at it's 6 points, or is it?
It's 9 points now. If we win the early kickoff on Saturday, it'd be six points. I think going into that game in March, if you're 6 points behind them, knowing that a win leaves you just a win away from them, that puts massive pressure on them. I mean, they drew the last game, but they are in good form at the minute, Sheffield United. It's just hoping that whenever they hit a blip, we don't think, or because they've lost, we can afford to drop points or afford to... I feel like that's always happened in the past. Like, we've won every time that the teams around us have won, like, and we've kept up with them. But then every time they've lost and dropped points, we've also done the same.
Yeah.
I always go back to this. There were like a Christmas where we were in good form, we were flying, and the Blackburn were like sold out. We had Birmingham and Wigan between Christmas and New Year.
I think we could... 1920, when... Chris Dack did his first ACL against Wigan, didn't he?
Yeah.
The game, couple...
With Brentford couple in top two that we were chasing.
I think we were... Did we not need to like win those games to like cement ourselves in playoffs, I think?
Yeah.
I think we were around like fifth or sixth, weren't we, at the time? And we had 0-0 against Wigan.
And 1-1
against Birmingham. Yeah.
They just killed all momentum for the rest of the season.
Yeah. Because like those two Christmas games, I think they were both like cheap tickets as well.
Yeah.
You're thinking like, you know, like you got to get people... To get bums on seats and, you know, to fill Ewood for the second half of the season, these two games are massive. And you just think we've come away from two winnable games with 2 points. So, yeah.
Very frustrating on that period of time.
Yeah.
So... Obviously, we've just had the game in the FA Cup, so he's going to make. I'm assuming he's going to make changes for Saturday afternoon. Is there anyone that impressed in the cup that you'd bring in for Saturday? Do you think Markande deserves a start?
Possibly. I know JDT spoke a lot about him recently, hasn't he? And how he feels that he's seen enough in training to warrant giving him a chance. Whether that's like limited to the cup or whether we're going to see him in the league. I'd personally like to see him. I think he's an exciting player. He offers you something different to what, you know, to what we've usually got or what we usually start with in the league. And I wouldn't be too surprised if you saw him starting. So I want to see him start.
I think against a team like Rotherham where they sit back and you have to use a bit of skill,
a bit of trickery
to get through them, I think he's perfect to start in this game.
Yeah.
Just a bit of pace behind, just some intelligent runs. And who do you take out? As of now, I'd probably take out Gallagher.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of like what my team would be for this Saturday's game.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I mean, is Costello fit? I know he went off injured in the last league game.
I'm not sure whether he's fit yet. I haven't really seen much. I feel like everyone's getting pretty wrapped up in the transfer rumour mill. I haven't really seen much about that injury.
I think he's been recalled, hasn't he? Stockport,
James Brown, yeah. I did see that.
I think he could come back in.
Possibly.
It's very risky, isn't it? I don't know how fit
it is,
be
after having,
no offence to Stockport County, but having played there for half the year, he's going to be championship ready.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. The one time we did see him though at Birmingham away, I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a last day of the season.
Finale, curtain dropper, not curtain raiser.
A last day of the season, dead rubbish. So, but I mean, you know, you've got to give everyone a chance, I suppose. And based off how he played that day, I don't know how he's done at Stockport. I mean, I haven't really been keeping an eye on him, but
some of the replies on Stockport's Twitter, not a lot of the fans, but majority of the fans said like they're gutted to see him leave.
Yeah, so that's encouraging, I suppose. Yeah.
I think Pickering starts obviously at left back. Pickering's been class recently. He's, I think, putting himself in the running for player of the year with his performances recently. obviously, Hayam start centre back. Ayala alongside. Ayala went off injured last league game, or did he just go off tired? Did he go off?
I think he did go off. Yeah, against Cardiff.
Or did we go to five at back and Wharton just play alongside him? And Ayala went in middle. I mean, I'll try my best to forget that Cardiff game.
We're that bad.
Ayala and Hayam centre back. Right back would be Carter, without knowing how fit Costello and James Brown could be.
As it stands, I think, you've got to keep him at right back. What is the situation? Like, is there any update in regards to Britain? I know, like, when he did that injury, it was saying, we're talking about
it's immediate, a case of medial.
Many weeks rather than.
Yeah, it's his medial ligament in his knee, so I don't think he'll be back until probably March, April. It's going to be towards the end of the season. He's going to miss a chunk of this season. It's
still a long way off, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
Be back for the playoffs. But I just think, I don't want to rush him back. I'd rather. Because obviously, he's rushed back in this time and he's picked up another injury. So, and obviously, we've seen with Dak how easy it is to come first game back. Get another terrible injury straight away.
Yeah.
Two midfielders. Morton.
This has been like the question all season, hasn't it? Because it's like, one game, one pair's not worked, and then we've changed it, and that's not worked, and it's been a constant problem.
Buckley's still banned, isn't he?
Yeah. 3 games, so Cardiff, the cup game count? Does it count?
No, I think it's an EFL ban, not an FA ban. I'm not 100% sure though. I'm not sure. Who else could be there? Wharton.
Either way, it's still banned, isn't it? Cause it's only been
2
games. If the cup game does count,
Who else could play in there? Hedges. I mean, what's wrong with Smodic? We've not seen him for ages.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Dak, Diaz, and Markande up front. Hedges? Where do you put Hedges? I mean, how do you just leave Hedges out? It's such a strange. Yeah. We've got too many players in certain positions and not enough in others. Or too many players that don't fit the system that I think Thomason wants to fit. But that's when we go on to the transfer window and what's happening.
Yeah,
not really seen much though, have you?
No, it's been pretty quiet so far, but something that I saw today that sounds pretty encouraging is the interest of Spurs in David Raya, because we've got a 20% sell on him, so that could drastically change our situation depending on say if like they sign for like 25 million or something. That's like 5 million quid.
I mean, it's surprising, really.
That can be a season changer, that.
They've got Lloris in it. I mean, I don't rate Lloris, but I mean, he's played that many games for Spurs. I didn't think I'd ever see him like replace him. But to go for someone like Raya so early before like Lloris is close to retirement or whatever. This, like you said, 20% of what? 25 million, so that would be £5 million for us. Yeah,
that's huge.
Yeah, it is for us, yeah. Hurst has obviously left now, signed for Ipswich. Is he signed for Ipswich permanent or just on loan?
I think it's on loan. Yeah. Just on loan. But I mean, their fans seem to be buzzing about it, but.
It's the right decision, really. It's just not worked. I don't.
Definitely the right decision to depart Rovers. It just shit from that penalty miss at Cardiff, it was always going to be tough for him to recover. It's just not worked out.
I think especially for a striker, you need like an early goal to get the fans on side, and but I think that doesn't matter. Strikers, it either works at a club or it doesn't. We've seen it over the years, like even players like Rudy Gusted, where when we signed him, everyone was like, oh, he's rubbish, he never scores.
Yeah.
And first season for us gets like 25 goals. And I think sometimes it can go really well for you, and it might go really well for him at Ipswich, and I hope it does. I think if he'd have spent another 6 months at Rovers, it just would have been a complete waste of time for us and for him. But yeah, I wish him the best. I hope he does well. We don't seem to be budging on the $15 million price tag for Diaz?
No, I'm glad really. I know he's out of contract in the summer, and there is that risk that if he doesn't re-sign that you lose him on a free. But
I mean, is it a risk? You've because got the $15 million now, obviously Forrest will get a chunk of that, won't he?
Yeah. So how much are you really gaining? And you got to look at it in the bigger picture of, you know, how much he's worth. Like in our situation now, third in the league with 20 games to go, how much is he worth to us? You know, and the value, the finance that he could bring into the club, if we do go up via the playoffs, and you know the role he plays in that.
But you're talking $50 million or $140 million, aren't you, really? Yeah. That's a difference he could potentially make.
So I'm glad that Rovers haven't budged, because I think that is like the minimum that he's worth to Rovers in this current situation.
Yeah, and I just think like the teams that have shown interest, you got West Ham, Newcastle, Everton, and Leicester.
Yeah, I think
so. Four in Prem. It's not like they haven't got the money. It's not like they're scrimping and scraping $50 million. Literally, like just selling them a third kit or something. Like they'll have the money. So it's like when you go into negotiations with these teams, it's like do what every other club does to Man United when they show interest in a player, just triple the prices and they just pay it. How do you know if someone's worth something? Because the transfer market's that stupid now and the prices are that inflated that is anyone really worth anything that people pay for them?
Yeah, yeah. I think these days with the way football's changed is that there's a lot more impetus on how much a player is worth to the selling club, because of like the gulf in certain leagues between like the gulf in quality between sides. You know, you look at you think about this idea of like a talent vacuum, if you like, you know. And that Man City signed Grealish. Like, Grealish is not £100 million player.
No.
But he's worth that to Villa because he was the like leveller, if you will, in those big games against the top sides. So
yeah.
See, that's just how football's changed already, hasn't it?
Yeah, it certainly has. But I was looking at some of the potential targets that we could have. So Jamal Lowe is available on loan. Me and the Swansea fans absolutely loved him when he was there. Joe Gelhart from Leeds.
Yeah.
Worth a shout. And Lewis O'Brien from Forest as well, who was obviously did so well for Huddersfield, getting them to the playoff finals, which they probably should have won against Forest, and then obviously Forest bought him, been made available for loan. So it's difficult really, because I feel like with a past experience with very loan players, especially like strikers on loan, you're almost like negative about him before he even come. You think like, well, is he going to come and really like make that much of a difference? I feel like when you sign a striker, unless they're actually coming permanently, are they really that arsed?
Yeah.
I mean, they're obviously going to come to put they're trying to perform to get themselves in the first team or what the parent club is. They're not coming to, unless they like really fall in love with the club and come to like get you promoted and get you to the Premier League. They're just thinking, if I score 10 goals here, when I go back to,
I'll be in contention.
Yeah, I'll be in contention for the first team squad. Mm. But that Joe Gelhart from Leeds would be my pick because Jesse March, Leeds manager?
Yeah.
He's come out and said, like, he's not in my plans this season. He's not in my plans, full stop. So it's almost like a try before you buy now. If you have him for 6 months and then you've got the option to buy at the end of the season, that he'd be my pick for getting a striker, because we do need one.
Yeah, definitely. We've got to bolster the options. I think Gallagher so far has not had the season that we've
wanted.
Well, not that, but he's not had the season that certainly I expected him to have. I thought this was going to be, you know, I think last season did he finish with nine goals he got in? So yeah, I was expecting to have a much better season this campaign, and I thought he'd be pushing towards 20, to be honest. Especially when like JDT came in, and you know, we thought we were going to see him, you know, through the middle a lot more. It's not, and Vale, I mean, whether it is of the quality to consistently, you know, score goals on a regular basis is still open to debate. You know, one thing for sure is that he's not ready to be the main man at Rovers yet, and he probably won't be for some time, I don't think. So you're left with no option but to bolster your ranks there.
I just worry that, like, signing another young striker on loan, they're not massively different to a Jack Vale, because all they've done is play like academy football. They never played like men's football.
Yeah,
and that's where I think we, if we had the money, if like if David Raya goes to Spurs, we get the add up. Like, it has to go. I keep saying, I say it every podcast. Victor Gyökeres, you just throw $5 million at him and say we want him, or Ross Stewart, like players that have been around the league, scored goals, and just. I mean, I saw the video of that guy from Malmo with a bald head and a big beard. He looks like an absolute brute.
Yeah. Well,
he didn't get released, but he's left Malmo, hasn't he?
I don't know how true this is, but I heard the other night that JDT and
he was in Furness.
Outside you and McDonald's.
I don't know how true this is, but we're in Furness with a big grill overnight.
I don't know how true this is, but he's signed. JDT and Rovers head of scouting were on the continent the other night watching a striker. So who knows, mate? Maybe it's him.
Just a weekend away. Watching that, I know that. You're not taking any notes, though.
Flew out in Norwich on Sunday for a couple of days away.
Before
Rotherham prep. It's all in here.
I'm not robbing up, mate. Honestly, I'm scouting. With a bottle of wine next to the city. Yeah. I'm scouting, mate, don't worry.
We really can't drink it, stat.
The transfer window carries on with no new. I saw someone put in the Facebook group, like, has anyone heard anything about transfers? Like, you're asking the Facebook group, no one has heard anything. Like, what do you think Thomason and Greg Broughton are doing? Like, oh, I'm not going to tell news, but I'll tell Jimmy. I'll tell Jimmy to post the principal on Facebook.
I'll make an anonymous account and I'll put it in that Facebook group. If you're not hearing anything from Rich Sharp and Elliot Jackson, people like that, then you know you're not going to hear it from the Rovers too. Right? You know, it's a bit daft.
It is.
Yeah, but people are obviously like not desperate, but they're eager, aren't they?
People just want the chat, don't they? I'd rather people say, I think it's difficult, isn't it, that nowadays everyone's on their phone.
People just get excited, don't they? Because, I mean, like, it is an exciting, you know, time of the season, because you want Rovers to bring like, 3 or 4 players in, and you hope that's going to change the second half of the season. And I say change, like, we've had a bad start, but you know what I mean? The players that are going to help us, you know, cement playoffs,
push to that next level.
But
I just think the people that ask them sort of questions on the Rovers too, they just want some interaction, someone to talk to about Rovers.
Come on the podcast,
come be a guest. Don't revise the quiz though, don't cheat.
But
people obviously used to go to the pub and speak about it, didn't you? But you can't do that anymore because you can't afford to sit in the pub all night and talk transfers. Had to go on Facebook Rovers 2 and drink cans at home. That's where I feel sorry for certain people that are like, that they're just desperate and they get obviously shut down quite a lot. Like, how the fuck do I know who was signing? So moving on, this week in football, so big news: Roberto Martinez has got the Portugal job.
Yeah.
That guy's got the best agent in football.
He has.
Apart from what was the striker called? Alvaro Morata. He's got a good... He must have same agent. But to, like, go from... He did all right at Wigan, didn't he?
Yeah.
Was poor at Everton.
Yeah.
Failed with Belgium, really. Should have done better with Belgium.
I mean, golden generation, best he got to was a World Cup semi-final, weren't it? So, yeah. I mean, in getting knocked out in the group stage is completely, well, that's completely unacceptable. And that's appalling, really. It's embarrassing.
Did he get sacked from Belgium? Did he leave?
I'm not sure.
To just walk into like another top-level job like that is just...
Yeah. I always think it's weird when managers... manage countries that they aren't from as well, and this is even weirder because he's just gone from the country that he's from, you know, to support to manage Portugal. So
yeah, but yeah, but like his backing staff are the same. You had like Thierry Henry and Sean Maloney. And on the argument in the summer that like your manager and your backroom staff should be from the country because that proves that your country is the best at football or whatever. That was just like a completely... It was like someone had opened an Ultimate Team account and just got random cards and were like, he's an assistant, he's an first team coach. Just you would never pick Roberto Martinez.
Like when you're doing an FM save and you get someone like as the director of football because he's a big name.
Yeah.
I remember like I had a Rover save once and I picked like Gary Neville's director of football.
I can't think who it was.
Something random.
Lillian Thuram's always available like on last year's one. I can't think who else has been available recently on FM. Eric Abidal was always available on last one as well. Trying to get him at Chester FC, trying to be director of football.
Come on, mate, the facilities are class.
VAR controversy again at Liverpool. So they said that Salah was ill, although he was in an offside position. Wasn't offside because the defender deliberately headed the ball. But
that's not a deliberate action because he's meant to head it away. So it's like...
Yeah, but like, obviously the Salah's like 20 yards behind him over his shoulder and he's only, what, 3 or 4 inches offside. How does the defender know, oh, he's offside and I'll let this run through? Like, I think it should just be offside.
You can't take that risk. Yeah.
It's honestly, it's absolutely awful, and the people trying to defend it are just making themselves look stupid every time. And then obviously the late goal. Did they say something like the cameras in Anfield couldn't show it was onside because the line going across? You couldn't see the
cameras Was it the cameras weren't available? There was a lot of like rumours like flying around about why it weren't,
because it was stood like so far to the sideline you couldn't actually see him.
Right,
he just took the corner.
Because like at first people thought like, oh, it was like the technology weren't available at the time, weren't it? And there was loads of ideas flying around. Was that why?
Yeah, so like
too close to the.
Yeah, he's like it's almost like underneath the stand.
Where the camera is.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just shocking. If it's not going to work and it's not usable, and I don't agree that it should be used at certain grounds and not at others. Like if you can't use it at Wrexham, you should be able to use it at Old Trafford. And we got done with it when we played Newcastle.
Yeah.
Like we had VAR at St James's Park and then the replay.
Did Rovers not ask to have it and the FA rejected it or something? I'm sure Rovers, for that replay, they asked to have it installed, or it was like the other way around, Rovers rejected it or something like that. But I'm sure...
I'm pretty sure one of their goals was offside. The one where it shot and the rebound fell to the striker.
He'd
gone offside from the shot. Gareth Bale retires.
Yeah.
Is he the best British player of all time?
Yeah, it's been... I mean, since he won those 5 Champions Leagues, it's been a big kind of like debate around him and whether he's the best Brit ever.
He's the most successful British player of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the best.
No, I think George Best, Kenny Dalglish...
Kevin Keegan, 2 Ballon d'Ors.
Who are you picking as an Englishman?
Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney is the best British player ever by a long way. I think
best British player ever.
Yeah, by miles, by absolute miles. And I think the most, because he's ugly, he never got the credit that he deserved. If he like a post,
he's ugly.
No, I'm not. I'm sure he knows himself that he's not a pick like oil painting, but I think.
If he was
like a poster boy, like Ronaldo type, or like innocent looking type, like Messi, I think he'd have got a lot more plaudits, a lot more credit, because he was that rough and ready, like skinhead that's going to bat like, at you.
Traditional striker.
Yeah. But I watched a video, like a montage of him, like at Everton. So it was all these clips before Euro 2004, and he's just like fully grown man. He's just absolutely battering him out of the way and putting ball in top, you know. Such a good player. I think at that time you could have played him in every position on the field and he would have been England's best player. I think if he played centre mid, he would have been
better. I think in that tournament, Euro 2004, it was unplayable. Absolutely unbelievable. And
you could have played him centre back, though, he would have been England's best centre back. You could have played him centre mid, probably put him in net, he probably would have been England's best goalkeeper.
Yeah,
it was just once in a generation player. I don't think there'll ever be another
player. It
was
a shame that because he like started playing at such a young age, like and started playing regularly. I can't even say that word. Started playing consistently at such a young age that he kind of like faded away pretty early in his career.
Yeah.
But I mean,
he's still getting like putting up huge numbers like towards the end of his career, though.
I suppose Bale is like, you know. Bale's in a similar situation. They're retiring at 33 because you know he started playing at a young age, didn't he? Was he only 16 when he came? 16, 17 when he came through at Southampton.
And then he went to Spurs and didn't kick a ball.
Yeah, for a while, yeah, and then when he broke through at Spurs, you know, I just remember those like Champions League nights against Inter, where he'd just like be absolutely electric down left hand side.
I think if he'd have stayed at Spurs, he'd have got more credit from the media than obviously when you go to Real Madrid. Obviously, it's a dream move for most players, but you're almost forgotten about unless you play Barcelona in Champions League.
I know what you mean, because the media is so like English centric. Yeah.
Like you watch some of his clips against like teams like Zaragoza, where he's like. Skinning five players, but you're like, I never seen that goal. If that were against Barcelona, you'd seen it on Sky every week. Because it's against one of the lesser teams in Spain, like, it's not talked about at all. And I think that one of the best goals ever is where he runs, like, knocks it past Barcelona's fullback at Copa del Rey, runs off the pitch, still beats into the ball. Last minute Copa del Rey final.
Yeah, about 85th minute or something, weren't it? 2-1 that final, I think.
I'd love to be that quick.
Yeah.
I'd love to be hit half as quick as
that. I love about that goal. How it shows like not his heat map, but like his path to the goal, like an aerial view, and you can just tell which goal it is straight away.
Just feel like if I'm a manager there, just stood in,
just legging him up.
Technical box, stand still, like shoulder.
Didn't do it, ref.
I was studying.
Brain to me.
But yeah, like if he'd have stayed in. If he'd stayed in England, and obviously never would have won the Champions League that he won at Real Madrid, but I think a lot of people were writing off because of his attitude, but he got a lot of stick off Real Madrid fans.
He did, yeah.
I mean, it didn't help himself, but like, they weren't happy that he didn't learn Spanish, and then he was giving interviews in Spanish after he left and stuff like that. So he hasn't helped himself, but I think if he'd have stayed in England at a club that adored him, and maybe won one or two trophies, he'd be more fondly remembered than what he will be, having been at won all them trophies at Madrid.
Definitely, yeah.
At a club that hated him.
I think it's poor how Madrid fans have treated him. But I think like Madrid fans are quite spoiled though. I think was it when they unveiled Hazard the other season. And they were chanting for Mbappe, and it's like you just signed Eden Hazard.
He looked pregnant at the time, though.
Well, looks pregnant now, still.
Graham Potter's struggling at Chelsea.
He is, yeah. It's after a fairly decent start. It's not really It's not really happening for him there.
Thing is that this is the problem now. He's got his big move.
Yeah.
If he gets sacked now, where does he go from here?
Yeah, and you know, it weren't so long ago that everyone was tipping him for the England job. Well, you know, if he's getting sacked after, how long has it been? It's not even 6 months yet, has it?
It's been nowhere near that.
3 or 4 months has it been? So yeah. When did he leave Brighton?
Like October, isn't it?
Yeah, so what, 3 months. You know, you can't be putting him in contention for the England job, should you, really?
No, I don't know. Southgate got sacked by Middlesbrough. He landed the England job.
Rob's agenda against Southgate.
But yeah.
Rob's agenda against England.
I do feel. I've just said Britt Waring is best player of all time. What's agenda around?
Best British player.
Best British player, yeah, that's one. But yeah, it's. I think it won't be long, no matter what. I think the 4-0 against Chelsea are bad enough. But
4-0 against Chelsea?
Yeah, 4-0 against City, sorry, in the Cup. But they just seem to be. They're not even competing in them games against the bigger teams, and then they're dropping points against the lesser teams of the league. So, and Chelsea fans won't put up with that long, especially when like the owner's like spending money. He's got no excuses, made transfers and stuff. And I mean, Joao Felix has gone in on loan today. Yeah. I don't think that helps them in any way. They've got no fullbacks. All the fullbacks are injured. They just signed a cam. And yeah. We'll play everyone up front.
I'm excited to see him though at Chelsea.
Yeah.
I think the potential is, you know, unbelievable there, but. You know, it's not really worked out from it. Atletico, is it? So, yeah, big potential, and you know, obviously, you want to see as many like Fleur players like that in the Premier as possible. I'm looking forward to watching.
Yeah, me too. Just hope that he hits the ground running, because I think if he goes 5 games without a goal, Chelsea fans will be like, nope, we're not having you at all, and it'll be back to. Athletic always tail between his legs.
Yeah.
Right, so I've not done a quiz for Lewis this week because I can't think of 10 questions. So I have got some football quiz cards. It won't be Black and Rovers. If there is a Black and Rovers question, I'll be surprised.
Who knows?
But
who won Premier League in 94 right?
I think it's just going to be a generic football quiz. So we're going to pick 5 cards each. So we're going to pick a card. I'll ask Lewis the question. There is only one answer on the card, so we're going to have to make up the options, but obviously it's in our best interest to make up options that are as close as possible to help try and put the other guy off. We'll still do 2 points for one for the options. Do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay then, you pick first.
Top one or bottom one, or just any.
You're trying to think of options.
Yeah, which one's hard? That one's you'll get this one, so I'll go with the top one. Which Spanish club's nickname is Los Coronos? Which translates as the mattress makers.
It's Atletico Bilbao. Is it not?
No. Atletico Madrid.
Oh, that's annoying. Oh, Jesus. Right. When did England first qualify at the World Cup?
Go for options.
Is it A, 1950, B, 1946, C, 1954, or D,
1958? I'm
going to
go
1950. Correct. Yeah. 1 point for you.
It's an odd one, but deal. I'll struggle to think of options. Right, we'll go for it anyway. who became the first Tanzanian footballer to play in the Premier League when he joined Aston Villa in 2019-20?
In joining what year?
2019-20.
You want
the
options?
Oh, dear, I don't know. I'm trying to think of African players that play in the Premier League now. Alright, so A, Didier Drogba. which is trying to think. B.
You want to Google
B,
it?
B. Victor Moses.
Victor Moses is English.
We weren't.
Were
they
not?
No. C. Mbwana Samata.
Yeah, I'll go with him.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Shock.
One each. My question for you. Hope it's not as hard as that one. In the 1920 season, or 2019-2020, an English team scored 16 consecutive goals that were all scored by English players. Which team was it?
16 consecutive goals?
Yeah.
1920. Wait, did it say which league?
No.
Go for options.
Was it A, Tottenham Hotspur, B, Brentford, C, Burnley, or D, Southampton?
Burnley. No?
Southampton. How many is that each? Is that your third one?
No, it's... Two each, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, it's my third one. Oh, that one's too easy. You'll get that, I think.
You can still answer it. Ask it if you get it.
What was the last major European Champions League game? I don't know why it's in brackets that. what was the last major game played in England before football was suspended in March 2020?
It was Liverpool versus someone. Was it Liverpool and Atletico Madrid?
Yeah.
Get in, come on! Can you please? Who became Britain's first £1 million football player transfer in 1979?
Daddy, get this. You have to go for options.
Is it A, Kevin Keegan, B, Gary Lineker, C, Trevor Francis, or D, Mark Overmars?
That's definitely old man, is it?
I don't know why he just come to my head, that's so random.
I know, yeah. Kevin Keegan.
No.
Who were it?
Trevor Francis.
Were it?
Yeah. You're flying now, flying. How many points have I got? Three?
Yeah, I think so.
And you've got one?
Yeah.
Right, two questions left each. So I'm winning 3-1. I'm writing it down so I remember it. Yeah.
Which country won gold in the 2020 Women's Olympic Football Tournament?
USA.
Canada.
Canada?
Canada.
Jesus. Which of these African nations hasn't reached the quarterfinals of a FIFA Men's World Cup? Cameroon, Nigeria, Ghana or Senegal?
Well, Cameroon definitely have. And I think you will have gone off. I'm going to go for haven't.
Hasn't reached, yeah.
I'm going to go for Senegal.
Incorrect. It's Nigeria.
Was it?
I mean, the options are on the card for this one. That's why I give you the options straight away. Yeah. I would have given you two. I would have given you two if you'd got it right. Oh no, this is, you need to ask me now, don't you?
Who is the youngest player ever to score a Premier League goal?
I'm pretty sure it used to be James Milner. But I don't know if Leeds had another one who took over in the same season. Oh, is it James Vaughan Everton? I'm not asking an answer. There was Rooney and Milner and James Vaughan all in the same season. The thing is, though, we asked for options, you're just going to tell me them three. Gonna go for it. Is it James Milner?
James Vaughan.
Oh, you joke? Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
16 years, 270 days. I think 270 days. Yeah.
270. I knew there were three in the same season. That's football. That is football editing. Right.
Football editing.
Who was the first ever winner of the Premier League's Golden Boot?
92, 93. What could that be? Let's go for options, I think.
Is it A, Eric Cantona, B, Andy Cole, C, Alan Shearer, or D, Teddy Sheringham?
I think it's definitely not Shearer, I don't think. Cantona. Let's go with Cantona. No?
D, Teddy Sheringham. Got one question each left. I could seal it with an option. Oh, fuck it. Nah, I'll keep that for you then.
Oh, that's too easy. In the 2021 Euros, how many knockout stage matches were decided by penalties?
In the what? The 2021?
Yeah, Euros. So Euro 2020.
Ah, right. Euro 2020. Yeah. How many knockout games? France and Italy. England, Italy. I'm pretty sure Croatia won one as well. No point going for options, is there?
I don't know, is it?
Right, 1, 2, 3, 4. England, Italy, France, Italy, Croatia, 1. I'll go 4.
Yeah, 4.
Get in! Come on!
I don't think France and Italy ever played each other, though. I think the one you were thinking of was France, Switzerland. And Mbappe had his saved.
Who knocked France out then?
Switzerland.
Did they?
Yeah. Round of 16, I think it were. Weren't it that mad day where Spain played someone, it was like 5-4 or something, and then France got knocked out by Switzerland. Not that day. Who did Spain play where it was like, I'm sure it was like 5-4.
I don't remember, because it was COVID times, don't remember it at all. I have no recollection of Euro 2020, apart from England 0, Scotland 0 that we won. Right, so I've won now anyway. It's 5-1. This is the last question for you, but I mean, I'll give you the easy one because I think you'll get it. In the 2019-2020 season, who was the Championship top goal scorer?
2019-20, so Leeds won it, didn't
Did they?
Yeah. He's won the league, 2019-20. COVID, wasn't it?
Is COVID not? No.
I'm gonna go for no, I don't think Kemal Roof.
No. Alexander Mitrovic, 22. Did they win the playoffs that year? They beat Brentford in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That left back squad in two World isn't final.
Yeah.
So that was us done. Quiz done. Yep. First ever. I mean, the football quiz are alright. It's hard to come up with options, though.
Yeah, it is. Especially when it's African Premier League players.
African Villa players. Tanzanian Villa players. That's like a mastermind special round,
yeah,
isn't it?
That's a very niche bracket of Premier League players, is that?
Yeah, well, that's us done. Isn't it? Is it? Anything else to add?
I think so, yeah.
Happy days then. Yeah. We'll be back. We got a midweek game next week.
No. Bristol City after that.
It's crap. It's one game a week. We're like, not having it. I'm not interested at all. Yes. Right. We'll be back after the Rotherham game on Sky on Saturday.
Yep.
Hope everyone enjoys another 3 points.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Yep. And we'll see you later.
See you in a bit.
Podcast Network. When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's stamps.com, code PROGRAM.